I'm excited about today's message. Let me, before I forget, next week we're doing our special service. It's going to be mostly music. So we're going to sing the story of Jesus. The kids are going to do some sign language. The little kids are going to do a little song. We're going to have a few readings. And it's going to be a song service about Jesus. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm a music junkie anyway, so I think it'll be fun. So that's what's happening. If you know anybody that is coming or wants to come to a Christmas service and they don't already have a church, they're welcome to come here. This morning is fun because we're going to talk about Abraham, who's first Abram. And when we think about Abraham, we probably think of one of those men of God who God just looked at and thought, wow, he does everything right. This is exactly what I'm looking for. He's perfect. I know growing up, there were some people in the church that were talked about. I have a little bit of a ring, Ben. Just a little ring. When we talk about them, I would think, wow, they are such godly people. They probably don't ever think anything mean. They probably don't ever say anything bad. They probably are nice to everybody, and I could never, ever be like them. In the church, we call those people saints. Like, they're saints. They've got everything together, and I could never be like them. Well, that's who Abraham, he kind of has that reputation in the church. The Jewish people were all descendants of Abraham, and they all look back, and they still do. They look back and say, well, Abraham, he's my daddy. He is our father. So I'm special because my dad was awesome. And it's fun for me when people talk about Abraham like that because I think, great, here's a teaching opportunity. And what we're going to see today is that I and you are just as capable of being used by God as Abraham. When we find the story of Abraham in Genesis, and we're actually going to read in chapter 22. So if you are able, there's a Bible in front of you. If you're able to stand, I'm going to read this just six verses out of respect for God, what he has given us. But I'm going to read these six verses, and then we're going to back up a little bit. I'm going to tell you the story of what's happened. So Genesis chapter 22, so the first book of the Bible, chapter 22, verses 1 through 6. Now it came to pass, after these things, that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go over there and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. Let's pray. God, please take your word, and we believe that you still speak and there is still power in the things that you have given us. And I ask that what is said today will continue to change our lives and help us to be the people that you want us to be. It's in the name of Jesus we ask this. Amen. You're welcome to have a seat. And what's really fun here is understanding who Abraham was. And we just started to touch on it this morning, and I had to tell myself, be quiet, because Abraham was just a guy. He was a very wealthy guy, but he was just a guy. And the story of Abraham starts out by telling us there's a whole lineage of who Noah was. You know, Noah was the guy who made the big boat, and they all got saved. And then it goes to this ancestry of who Noah was, the kids they have. And then it comes down to this one guy, and it says, and he had a son named Abram. Well, it turns out that this one guy wasn't a follower of God, the Creator God. How in the world did that happen? What took place was, I still have a little ring, Ben. What took place was, these people were dispersed, and there's this area called Samaria where these kings were ruling, and you know, everybody wants to be in charge, and then I have my new way of doing things, and so these people would bring their, hey, try this and try this. And along the way, some people decided that they had other gods that they wanted to worship. And the Sumerians actually worshipped a number of gods. And Abraham's father was a priest to one of the kings of these gods. So he was a priest who worshipped all these other gods. Some people even think that they had a different god for every day of the week or a different god for every month of the year. So there were a lot of things going on. What we can see is that Abraham did not come from a family that worshipped God the Creator. Which is interesting, because sometimes we think, you know, to be really used by God, you have to come from a good family where, you know, you're raised to think that the Old Testament calls him Yahweh, the God that is above every other God. You have to be raised to think that way in order to really be useful throughout your life. And we see that Abraham was not. What happened to Abraham was that he was, you know, doing his thing, and then one day this voice spoke to him and said, I want you to pack up and go. And I'll tell you when you get there. You mean it wasn't even Jesus that told him? Nope. This voice said, I want you to pack up and go, and I'll tell you when you get there. Now, the thing that we do know about this story of Abraham is that it wasn't some guy standing right next to him. When Abraham heard this, he was confident that God, that something had said, do this. He didn't have a full understanding of who even was talking to him. He just knew, I have just been given instructions by something higher than myself, and so I am going to obey, which is where Abraham starts to be a pretty cool guy. Because somebody who he realizes is an authority over him says, this is what I want you to do. And Abraham's response was, Sarah, let's pack our stuff. We're leaving. And it says that he obeyed this voice in the sky that he'd never known before, but he obeyed it. And then we might think, well, from then on, life was great and peachy. Everything was wonderful. It wasn't. All Abram had to go on, his name was Abram at the time, all he had to go on was this voice told him to pack up and do something, and he said, okay. So he starts walking, and they start traveling, and then this famine happens, which is no rain, so there's nothing to eat because the crops aren't growing. And so they decide, Abram and Sarai and his group of people decide, well, we'll go to Egypt because they have food down there. They have a nice big fat river, and we can go get some food. But before we get there, he's talking to his wife. He says, before we get there, when we go here, don't tell them I'm married to you. We're going to lie to them and say, you're my sister, which wasn't really a lie. It was kind of the truth, but that's a longer explanation. Don't try that these days. But so tell them we're gonna delete part of our history. We're going to tell them that you're my sister and we're traveling together because she was beautiful. Now, they were in their mid to late 70s when this happens, which people aged differently back then. There's a long explanation, makes sense, but there's an explanation. Anyway, Sarah was in her 70s and still beautiful, and Abram said, if we tell this guy the truth, he'll kill me and take you because you're so beautiful, so let's lie to them, and then That way we can live here, do our thing, and then we'll go. So they go to Egypt, and the princes of Egypt see Sarah and think, man, she's hot. So they invite her to their palace. And while they're there, they learn that something's wrong. Because what starts happening is, once Sarai moves into the palace, everybody starts getting sick. And after a little bit of thinking, and the Bible just says they realized, but probably, this is me conjecturing a little bit, but you start tracking things back. When did we get sick? Just like we do now. Like, where did this come from? Well, first I talked to them. Were you sick before then? Yes. Okay, go back to, we all got sick when she moved in. She's the problem. So they come back to Abram and say, she's made us all sick. What's going on here? Well, really, she's your wife? Why did you lie to us? Get out of here. You've made us all sick. God brought an illness on those people to uncover what was going on. So Abram had this great plan. We're going to lie to these people to keep ourselves alive. And it didn't work. So they got kicked out. So they had to go somewhere else. And then what they did was they moved. Oh, I have my just short notes here, but it's pretty interesting. What they moved onto this new territory. And Abram's nephew was with him. His name was Lot. So we've been kicked out of Egypt. We got to go look for somewhere else. And then we come to this really beautiful land. This has got to be it. And God says, you know, everything that your eye sees, that's for you. And since Abram and Lot have this perfect family, everything was great and they never argued and their families never fought. You know, if you're really godly people, your families don't fight, which is not what happened. Abram and Lot, they started getting into it, which makes me feel better. You know, if Abram, who's supposed to be this really godly man, if his family argued and fought, and they even decided, you know, maybe we shouldn't be around each other all the time. If they did that, then maybe there's hope for me too. Because that's what ended up happening. Abram said, it's not good for us to be together. You choose what you want to do. And of course, Lot saw what he thought was the best land, took it for, he's like, I want that. It's beautiful. And he took it, which sometimes family members do that. You offer them something and they take the best thing and leave you with the leftovers. Not that that ever happens to us. But, you know, sometimes other family members do that. And we see that Abraham dealt with that too. So Lot went and lived there. And after a while, other people decided, you know, this is really pretty territory. I think we'll come and steal it. We'll fight the people. And what happened, some armies came in and they attacked where Lot was living, captured him. And he and his women and children, they took everything and they became slaves. So Abram decided he wasn't going to let his selfish nephew just go live in exile. So Abram stepped in and helped his family member out of a difficult situation that he got himself into, and it's his own fault because he took the best land anyways. And if he hadn't taken the best land, he wouldn't be here in the first place. But he did it. So there he is. But Abraham stepped in and said, I will go and get him out of this. There's a whole sermon right there. Stepping in to help people when they've dug their own hole out of their own selfishness and it's their own fault, but we can still come in and say, I'm here to help. And what the Bible says is Abram stepped in, he went and actually took his trained men and rescued Lot and his family and came back. And right after this happens, so Abram has just come in and saved someone. Listen to this. This is pretty good. He's just come in and saved someone who is in trouble because of his own choices. So Abram stepped in and did something for Lot that Lot could not do himself, which is much like the situation that we find ourselves in sometimes when we realize, I have done something. I've got myself in a situation where I can't get out. But I know this guy who said, all you've got to do is ask to be forgiven and I will step in and I will start to make things right in your life. Abraham does this for Lot. And after this happens, Abram meets this king. His name's Melchizedek. up to this point, the only thing Abram had to go on was this voice in the sky said, pack up your stuff, start walking. And then he meets this guy years later. His name's Melchizedek. And it turns out that Melchizedek was a follower of the Most High God, Yahweh. And Melchizedek, along with Abraham, they make a sacrifice together. And we see in this portion of the scripture that Abraham, although he doesn't know anything, he has the right desire. He still makes bad judgment. But it doesn't mean that God says, oh, forget you. You can't even pay attention. He says, yeah, let's keep going here. And then Abram meets this guy who knows what's going on. And Abram and this guy together make an offering to the Most High God. And at that point, we kind of see that Abraham never makes any more mistakes after that. But that's not what happens either. So Abram has an encounter with someone who wants to teach him. And we find out after this, he makes this sacrifice to God and he says, oh, that's what your name is. That's who you are. And God says, you know what? What I'm going to do for you, you followed me, you've come here, I'm going to make your descendants more numerous than all the stars in the sky and the sands of the sea. So Abraham gets talked to again. And then everything's perfect. It's all great. Nothing bad ever happens. And he makes perfect choices from then on out. Which is not what happens either. Because we all know, and we talked about a little bit, this story of Hagar. You know, you'd think if God was going to choose somebody to populate the earth, he would choose some people that could have children. Are you sure you know what you're talking about? Because I can't have kids. Or she can. It's really that woman's fault. You know, that's how things, he might not have blamed her like that. But God makes a promise to him, and then he says, we're going to make this happen. And they're like, okay, God. And they wait, and they wait, and nothing happens. And since Abram is the perfect example of what every Christian should be, we see that he never jumps the gun, except he did. Well, maybe God didn't mean it that way. Maybe he meant to do it this way. So Abraham and Sarai come up with their own plan. And it messed stuff up. But Abraham's perfect. He's the best example of a Christian we have. How can he mess anything up? Well, he did. And we're still dealing with the consequences of that. But in spite of that, God showed them that it's not just the actions that you take that make you in a right relationship with me. It's your attitude. Because Abraham still messed up. I mean, God said, I'm going to do this for you. And did we talked about this in class. Did God say, Abraham and Sarai, you two together are going to have a kid? It doesn't say that in the scripture. Most likely, when God spoke to Abram, we know that he meant those two together. Then they jumped the gun a little bit and had this baby out of wedlock. But since they were perfect examples of what people of God should be, they got along great. Except for as soon as the servant girl got pregnant, Sarah got jealous. I didn't think that people who love God are supposed to get jealous. Oh. Well, they do. And what happened was this jealousy started to brew, and but they aren't mean. Except for that Sarah ended up kicking Hagar out. It's like, you get out of here, woman. And this person, that these people that we hold up here and say, oh, this is what they should be, they did something mean. Well, how can that be? Well, it turns out God was still watching. And through the course of time, Abraham and Sarah became pregnant. And they had their son Isaac. But what we see is that God didn't say, Abram, since you have always made every choice right and you've always done everything perfectly, I'm going to choose you to go and be my representative. He said, I'm choosing you and we'll work things out along the way, which is where I consider myself to be, that when I was younger, I didn't have a clue about most things, and I still don't. But I didn't have to learn my way to God before he finally said, okay, you're good enough. Now I'll use you. There was a time in life when all I knew was I was supposed to do something, and I didn't understand. But I said, okay. And I said, okay, for a while. And then it got difficult and confusing. And then I said, are you sure that's what you meant? I'm going to go stand over here for a while. And I went and stood over here for a while. And things got miserable. You know how Abram and Sarah were miserable? The princes, they all got sick. Everybody was miserable. What in the world did you do to us? I have the t-shirt. Okay? God didn't say, Ben, you have got to get everything lined up before I'll use you. What my hope is, and the only sense I can make out of it is that when God said, Ben, this is what I want you to do, at some point along the line, I finally said, okay. And God can work with okay. What he can't work with is no. God can work with okay, but I don't have a clue what I'm doing. I can work with that. Okay, but none of those people like me. I can work with that. Okay, but they all think I'm stupid. I can work with that too. What he can't work with is, no, I know I could, but I'm not going to. Or, no, I know you want me to, but I don't think I can, so I'm not going to. What God was looking for, he found in Abram. He found, yes. Sarah, pack your stuff. That's what God's looking for in us. And this is why when we come to this story of Abram sacrificing his son, Isaac, you know, his one and only son, his only begotten son, we see some things that we can learn from that too. That's the first half of that story is what we read just a little while ago, where Abram says, boy, pack your stuff, we're going on a journey. The only thing of value in my life God has asked of me. I don't have a clue what he's doing, and it looks like he's messing everything up, but God has asked this of me, and so I will say yes. And that's what God's looking for. He's not looking for, well, I have all the abilities and skills that you could ever desire, God, so of course you want to use me. He's looking for somebody who will say yes. And just very quickly, I'm going to show you some similarities here. In Genesis verses 7 through 14 of chapter 22, it shows how Abraham took his son Isaac and offered him. And this is the season of Jesus. This is Jesus' main time. And what we can see is that Abraham took his one and only son, Isaac, just in the same way that in John chapter 3, verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. In verse 2, it says, go to the mountain of Moriah and sacrifice him there. And many believe that this is the area of Jerusalem where another very important sacrifice did take place. He said, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering. And we know that finally Christ did die for our sins. Abraham took the wood. He carried, Isaac carried his own wood on his back, just the same way that Jesus carried his own wood to the place where he was sacrificed. We can see that when they got there, Isaac said, Dad, where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham's response was, God will provide the lamb. And thankfully for Abraham, there was a point of salvation where Abraham was willing, and to understand how a man could sacrifice his son, we could talk about the religion that Abram came out of, so it wasn't that weird for him. We're not going to talk about that today, but for a man to be willing to sacrifice his son, God finally said, I'm just checking if you're willing to do everything for me. That's what I'm looking for. And he stopped. And the parallel in the New Testament is that God did not stop with his own son. He said, here's what needs to happen. And Jesus became the lamb that was sacrificed for all of us. There's some really cool parallels between the story of Abraham and the story of Jesus. And when we look at these stories, we think, man, these are great people of God in the Bible. I could never, ever be like them because they are so perfectly holy and God loves them and I'm just a loser. And that's not true. Because Abraham made mistakes. He didn't know what he was doing. He just kept going when God said, all right, go. And that's all God's looking for in us. And the nice thing is, as he continued to obey, he came to a point in his relationship with God where God said, I am going to make a covenant with you that I'll never, ever leave you. And for us, that covenant was made with Jesus. When he died for us, Jesus said, I am willing to make a covenant with you. We could talk about, well, I'm going to short explanation. That covenant that was made, Abraham and God did make a sacrifice. At one point, he took a heifer, a goat, and a ram, split them down the middle, which is what they did to make a covenant. Those bodies that were laid open represented what would happen to either party if they broke a covenant. So if I'm making a covenant, I made a covenant with Carissa. And I understand that. When I make a covenant, I am saying that if I ever break my word to you, you have the right to split me down the middle and lay me open. That's a pretty serious thing. The good news is God made that covenant with us, saying, I put everything I am on the line to say, I will be faithful to you to the very end. And that's the good news that we have, that we can take for ourselves and we can also share with other people, is that God doesn't expect me to be perfect. He just wants me to keep saying, okay, I have no idea what you're doing, but okay. I don't know where we're going, but okay. And to know that he has made a promise that I don't have to do it by myself, and he's never going to leave me hanging. And that's the good news we have in Abraham. That's why I love this story so much. We covered it this week in our reading. But it's good to know we don't have to be perfect. We just have to keep going the way he sends us. Is that okay? Well, let's stand and pray, and we'll dismiss. I'm looking forward to next week. It's going to be fun. It's okay to have fun in church. We're going to have fun too. As you're reading through, if you have the story, as you're reading through it this week, you might start asking yourself those questions like, how does this fit into my life? If these guys weren't perfect and I'm not perfect, how can I do this too? So as you're reading this week, start to think about those questions. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your strength, and we thank you for the encouragement we find in the stories that you give us. Help us all to take to heart the hope, and help me to remember that it's not just for somebody else, but it's for me too, that you have provided a promise that you'll never leave me alone, and you'll never expect me to do it by myself. Help us as a church to continue to spread that hope and that good news to the people around us. It's in the name of Jesus we ask this. Amen. Have a great week.